The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Well, there's growing research that shows we as a society have a social media dilemma. Social media use has a dark side, including elevated risk of depression and anxiety. But avoiding negative outcomes is not the only reason to educate ourselves about the pitfalls and learn to avoid them. Preserving the benefits of responsible social media engagement is also a payoff worth pursuing. So how do we do all of that? Well, my next guest has written a book on the subject that will help us, social media and depression. Spending too much time interacting with our electronic devices can lead to negative mental health consequences that are similar to other forms of addictions. And so managing all of that is what we'll be talking about for the next couple of segments. Dr. Gregory Jantz is the founder of The Center, a place of hope in Edmonds, Washington. He was voted a top 10 facility for depression treatment in the United States. Dr. Jantz pioneered whole person care in the 1980s and is a world-renowned expert on depression, anxiety, eating disorders, technology addiction, and abuse. Dr. Jantz is a best-selling author of 40 books and has appeared on CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox, and CNN. And we're just delighted to have him with us today to talk about this very handy resource, social media and depression. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Jantz.
Oh, good to be with you today. And social media is a problem.
It is a problem. It's a wonderful tool, but it can also have a side that we don't fully understand. How do we assess our own vulnerabilities to social media? How do we know if we have a problem, and how do we assess, our relationship to it, healthy or unhealthy?
Yes, and let me just qualify by saying I'm on social media, but if we don't have boundaries with time and what we are viewing and engaging with, it's an easy setup. We know that people who spend more time in social media, who already are struggling with maybe some depression tendencies, we know that what happens is they will actually increase in their depression symptoms. So we need to look at the social media world and why are we so deep into it? Are we using it as our definitive source of information? And, you know, we also need to look generationally, the involvement, who's our age groups that are engaged, and what does this do, even to the developing brain? So those are some of the important questions we have to ask.
Now, you share in the book some of the dangers posed by excessive or imbalanced use of social media. What are some of these excessive uses or imbalanced use that can be harmful?
Well, one of the things that we're seeing is people are spending more time, if you will, in social media than in real relationships. They would rather isolate and engage in social media versus see a person in person. If you've ever had a break or a lunch or a coffee with somebody and they're on, I call it a device, they're on their device more than they're talking to you, that's probably a problem. Mm-hmm. Because this can devalue relationships. And as we devalue the relationship, because it's showing that something else has your attention. And so then we develop something that I call partial attention. You're only partially engaged with that person, which has an effect on really devaluing the importance of that relationship.
What role did the pandemic and the isolation that it afforded, what role did that play on our growing dependence on social media in place of being able to come together and maybe forgetting how to do that?
Yes. Well, one of the things that we know is that during the intensity of the pandemic, during this time, the engagement, the isolation was high, so the engagement into online activities really increased. And let me just add, some of the online activities that increased were not healthy or not good. Pornography use went up. We know that people began to use social media to, where there was division and there was, you know, kind of almost an online hatred and anger. And so it hasn't always been good. And it's important to say, okay, what did this do to me? If you already are struggling a little bit, maybe with self-esteem, and you're going and then you compare yourself when you're online, it's a way of comparing, and we use it to judge what is reality, which is really not a good thing to do. And so the pandemic just escalated all the issues.
Yeah. How can social media cause depression?
Well, because we're comparing. Because we go online and we're not engaged in real relationships. And one of the things that we know is the more that you're away from real relationships, really what's happening online is there's a lowering of our self-esteem. It's the most fascinating thing to watch. Somebody who's just spent 6 hours online in social media tends to be irritable. They tend to be not feeling good about themselves. You start to see more isolation. We know that there are some things online. We see this constantly, that there's too much sexual content, sexualization. There's things that people bump into, not necessarily intentionally, but they begin and become engaged. So we've got to talk about this with our kids and really do a check-in with our own selves. How well are we doing?
In your book, Social Media and Depression, do you see signs, and in your practice, I should say, do you see signs of addictions or narcissism from excessive social media use?
Yes. Excessive social media use. And, you know, everybody, like any other addiction, you misjudge how much time you've spent online. And what that looks like is let's say you ask a person who's struggling with alcohol, well, how much did you have to drink? They go, well, I just had one beer. What? And the reality is they just had six. Okay, that's the way social media, how long were you online? Oh, just maybe a half hour, and it was really 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. So is that fairly common, that people underestimate the impact, the time spent on social media?
Yes. The amount of time spent in social media can rob us of relationships. It takes away emotional closeness from another person. And yet, the delusion of social media is we begin to believe that we have lots of friends, right? And we're looking for it as a place of seeking approval.
Yeah, yeah. Now, does use of social media, or rather misuse of social media, impact teens and young people differently than it does adults? Is there a greater danger?
You know, I think with teens, there's the shaping of self-identity. We have a generation where there's a lot of apathy. We have a generation where there's a lot of just not hope for the future. And so we're seeing kids engage in really an alternative, at times, an alternative reality. You know, everything is virtual. Mm-hmm. If we look at during the pandemic, virtual learning failed. We had the highest academic failure on record.
And so we can expect that virtual world will have a similar impact on the real life of individuals who immerse themselves in it, especially young people.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. So this is not, again, I'm going to say I'm not against the use of social media. I participate, but we really have to look at this and go have strong boundaries. How much time are being spent and what are we spending our time on? Can we self-regulate? What happens is when it really becomes an addiction, and there is a such thing as a digital addiction. We see it here at the center, a place of hope. People coming in, and we find that they'll have symptoms like any other addiction. So digital addiction is real.
Now, when you say similar symptoms of other kinds of addictions, can you give an example? Because it's hard to imagine how that kind of addiction would be similar to the kinds of substance abuse, for example, that one might be addicted to.
Yes. When somebody comes to, now we're a facility where people come and stay. When somebody comes to us, for the first 3 days, they're not on any kind of screens. They check their cell phones and their tablets and everything. They check them in for the initial 3 days. Many individuals will start to have what I'll call withdrawal symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Their heart rate goes up. They get sweaty palms. They get headaches. And it's a symptom of addiction. Isn't that interesting? And they'll say, hey, I've got to have my phone back. I forgot to tell somebody something, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Well, that is fascinating to consider that link. One of the things that we are very concerned about is the fact that overuse or misuse of social media, as you put it, digital media, can be a mood-altering drug. It can be addictive. It can contribute to or even cause depression. Is that a fair characterization of the misuse of social media that can, on the other hand, be very beneficial if we know how to manage it well?
Well, yes, absolutely. I don't know that we could always say it causes depression, but if you're on the edge and you've struggled, it will increase your depression. And I haven't mentioned anxiety yet, but anxiety levels tend to increase the more you're involved in social media. Well, why is that? Well, we're comparing. There's things that are being said. We have an emotional reaction to a lot of the things. There certainly is some things in social media that are very inappropriate in many different ways, and we react to those. And what we tend to do is we spend more time in social media than what we ever realized,
mm-hmm.
And time passes and passes, and at the expense of other relationships.
Now, what are some of the different types of cyberbullying? You've talked a lot about this tendency to compare ourselves with the images that aren't always an accurate image of someone else's life. But cyberbullying is another concern. Can you talk a little bit about that and the different types that are out there?
Yes, there's cyberbullying where people will obviously make online threats, and cyberbullying that people will say and do things online or in social media that they wouldn't do in person.
Mm-hmm.
It's as though you're bolder and you can take on a different personality when you're engaged in social media. So people will say and do things that in real life they wouldn't normally do.
Well, in addition to pointing out the challenges of managing social media well, you also offer strategies for healthy use of social media. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I think most of us want to be healthy and happy in the digital age, but don't necessarily know how to navigate that for ourselves or how to encourage young people to use it in a healthy way. So what are some of the strategies for healthy use of this medium?
Well, I think, what am I subscribing to? What am I engaged with? How am I using social media? Is it, for some, it's their primary source of news and information. Is that the best way? The question to ask, am I able to really truthfully modulate my time? So can I put on a timer and after 15 minutes really get off of social media, or do I stay on? Am I walking around the house with my phone and I have family members talking to me and I'm not engaging with them or I'm not hearing what they're saying? So how much time does it really take? And as you look at that, you go, is this drawing me closer to my important relationships, or is this an intimacy barrier?
Mm. You also offer in the book Social Media and Depression, How to Be Healthy and Happy in the Digital Age, ways to assess one's vulnerabilities to social media use. I mean, we're all different. Some of us can handle more than others. I think there's some healthy boundaries that should apply to all of us. But how can we assess our own vulnerabilities?
Well, one of the things is, take a day of the week, maybe it's Sunday, and just do a fast, detox, if you will, and see how well you do. And what social media do I find myself? It can be very tempting, very tempting. And so part of the assessment is, Where am I spending my time? What am I looking for? What am I hoping to see? So social media teases you. And do I have the personal discipline? Am I willing to be accountable? So those are some, a few of the things that we want to look at.
You suggest your readers choose best practices to minimize risks. What are some of those best practices?
Well, I mentioned one. One is to be accountable.
Yes.
The other is set a timer. And do I stop after a certain period of time? Other is, how am I using it? Is it really beneficial? Am I learning, or is it just what I call doom scrolling? I'm engaged, I'm just doom scrolling, and everything I'm reading is negative. Everything I'm reading is causing me to have more anxiety. And so this is really, really important that you look at. You know, the age is funny on this, but I get really concerned when I see that we're using social media, we're using devices to babysit kids who are 5 and 6 years old, you know, and I usually say we want to wait as long as possible. And then there needs to be some real teaching around this, though this is new. I get it. But and kids learn things quickly. And, you know, they usually, if something happens in the news, they know about it quickly. So this is important that we talk about good online or good digital hygiene.
Digital hygiene. I like that.
How's that? Yeah.
Well, this is a very useful, useful book, Social Media and Depression, How to Be Healthy and Happy in the Digital Age. You, along with Keith Wall, have provided a resource I think a lot of parents, and for that matter, adults, will find handy. Is this a problem that you're seeing increase over time, or are you optimistic that people are recognizing, especially coming out of the pandemic, that we really need to reassess our relationship with the digital world?
I think we've got to ongoingly keep an eye on this. Absolutely. So one of the things that's so important is to understand that things will change over the time. There's always something new. There's always a new app. Things change. But have a sense of always keeping this as an engaged conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Once again, the book is titled Social Media and Depression, How to Be Healthy and Happy in the Digital Age. It's published by Aspire. Thank you so much for this and so many of the other resources that you have made available to help us live a healthy and happy life, whatever our concern might be. Thank you so much.
Good to talk to you.
You too. Bye-bye. Again, Social Media and Depression, how to be healthy and happy in the digital age.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.